What's up, bros? Welcome to another BroGraph Brocast. I'm Dave.
And I am Matt.
And we got a good one for you this week.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. An epic one.
We are not going to do our usual 2.5 hour show because it's been a long weekend. And
yeah, we're going to make this a short interview.
Yeah.
Drink.
We always say that. Yeah, I know. But we have just a couple things. We're going to forego the emails and the questions and all of that until next week. So please keep sending in your questions. If you're new, which I imagine if some of you are tuning in to see the dead mouse interview or hear the dead mouse interview, you are probably hearing this for the first time. So let us just introduce ourselves. This is a supplement to our site, brograph.com. And on our show, we talk about motion graphics and we talk about Cinema 4D, After Effects, plugins, everything to do with motion graphics and doing business as a contractor, working for the man, taxes, all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested, check us out and maybe check out some of the other shows as well that are more of like the regular shows, because this is obviously going to be a little different this week. What else was I going to say?
I don't know. This is going to be like a super exciting show. And super, big shout out to all the new people who are listening.
Yeah, we are basically just two dudes who do a show. And
two dudes
doing a show on the internet and somehow managed to work out this interview, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I know. And it's crazy that it happens so quick. It's like... Yeah. One day we're like, we just mention him in a tweet, and next thing we know, we're interviewing him for the podcast.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You're also going to be able to see this in video form. There is a video version of this that's going to come out this week as well. And
at the same time, right?
Yeah, pretty much at the same time.
Oh, yeah, because it's already uploaded.
Just yeah, it's ready to
release
go.
Release the link.
It's already done. And so... What we usually do talk about on this show is render engines and all that kind of stuff. And we get questions from the listeners. So if you have anything that you want to ask about Cinema 4D, After Effects, even if it's like a noob thing, like if you're just getting into it, if you listen to or follow Dead Mouse and you see what he's been doing with graphics recently on the internet and you're like, wow, I kind of like this. I kind of want to get into this. What do I need to know? Like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be like a super expert sending in super intricate questions. It's all good.
Odds are we wouldn't be able to answer those.
Yeah, I know. We're not any good at that stuff. So send them in. It's brograph@brograph.com. So that's going to be up. And also this week I released the the DFW C4D.
Your presentation.
My presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
are that's we releasing the rest of them next week?
We're going to release one more.
Okay.
This week on Thursday, we are going to release David Arieff's.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome.
Which if you guys
awesome.
Have not seen David's newest music video, go check it out. We should put it in the show notes. We should put in the show notes every week for the next like 2 months.
There you go. So we're going to put it in the show notes and you're going to be able to watch the DFW C4D presentation that he did where he broke it down and he talked about everything that he did to build it. One man show type deal. So it's a great behind the scenes. So looking forward to putting that out there. We've got the new intro with the new music that was on the... presentation that I did that was just released Friday.
We got like a day. Bunch of positive responses about the new music
And the animation, so I'm happy about that. I've been recording as well on that, so I'm gonna do a time lapse of building the intro.
Very cool.
Got tons of that.
Someone asked I think it was on Twitter or email or something, what was the time lapse program that you were using?
Oh, I didn't see that. Who sent that?
I don't know. I saw it somewhere. I think it was on the email. I think it was on email.
Well, yeah, I haven't had a chance to read everything. I'm super behind.
Not so good.
Which I will get caught up. It's on my list.
It's been an amazing week.
Yeah, and a busy one at that. And a busy one. And we actually had some time to spend with our families this weekend for once. And then we're going hard at it starting tomorrow. So that's why we're like, let's do a short show. The program that I use is called Screen Ninja, and you could set the interval. So I set it to 1 frame every second.
Is that Mac only?
It might be. It's really weird, you know. I got that Razer Blade laptop.
Yeah, how
do and now you like I'm kind it? Of making. Yeah, I love it. I'm going to the switch backwards, right? So now it's the opposite problem that I had years ago. Years ago, I was like, all these programs are for PC, and I don't have a version of this on my Mac. And now it's kind of the opposite, where it's like, I want this program, and I want this program, and I want this program, and there's not a PC version for
them. Which programs are you looking for?
Well, like the Screen Ninja. Gosh, what were some of the other ones? Off the top of my head, I can't remember at the moment, of course, but man.
I wish there was like an easy messages.
Which ones I was
like
for.
If you could actually incorporate iMessages. Because I mean, my iMessages basically broke on my Mac. That's why I decided to go over to my PC full time now. You know?
Yeah, people are like, you could use WhatsApp and all that. And I'm like, no, I want to use, I just want iMessage on my computer. I figure Apple might come up with something like that.
They won't.
Well, you know, they did iTunes and Safari, and I thought maybe it would be a thing, but they don't have that, unfortunately. And the stupid articles that I read online that say that you can do this if with these simple steps are like install some virtual machine thing or screen share to a Mac to do it. I'm like, I could use my phone if that were the case.
Right, exactly.
anyway.
Step one, pick up your phone. Step two, type message.
So that's kind of like what happened this week. I know we usually do kind of a week rundown. The one thing I did want to mention I thought was interesting. Did I talk about, what was last? I'm trying to remember. Was it this week or last week? Last week we did an install with Go Live Productions. I went down to
the convention center. Week. Yeah, you went Wednesday.
But the install was the week before. I don't know if I talked about it or not.
I don't know.
So Chick-fil-A was doing this big, huge corporate show in Dallas, and they were at the convention center. And I was there with Go Live Productions because I was shadowing Scott. He has actually he's patent pending and like developing this really cool flexible LED technology that you can put around the stage.
Patent pending unless there is an actual pending patent. It's actually against the law to say that. I just found that. TIL.
Interesting. Well, it is pending.
I'm just saying.
So, so it's a great little LED accent that goes around the stage. So I took pictures of it and, you know, we were there and I was looking at the LED screens because they were really pretty and very, very, very high res and just gorgeous looking LED. And then they had these graphics going on and I'm like, man, those are really great graphics. They kind of look like Octane. You know, I was looking at that. I was like, man, I wonder who did that. And I asked Scott, and he's like, yeah, I think, you know, so-and-so would know. And I was in a hurry. I didn't really have time to go talk to people and get all nerdy and stuff, and I got out of there. Well, then Barton Damer from Already Been Chewed posts on his Instagram these graphics that they just did for Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, oh, dude, I was just there. So I sent him over some of the stills that I took, you know, because I had some of his graphics and some of the pictures.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
You know? And then, of course, I go to break down. The reason I was shadowing is because
he couldn't be there.
He couldn't be there to take it down.
Yeah.
So I'm there. I'm breaking down. I walk up. Of course, I hear my name called, and I'm like, "What?" I look around. I'm like, "Who's calling my name?" And it's my friend Mike Bird, who has a lot of rental gear for stuff like this in DFW. So small world, you know. Small world, and it's amazing. Like those graphics were so great.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of people out there spending a lot of money on like, you know, corporate graphics and stuff like that. So that's a good industry to get into as well. Yeah. So
not just PowerPoints and stuff.
Yeah. So, so there's that. Anyway, I think we should probably get to the interview here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, man. I was really excited about this interview, and you can tell because I'm like,
you were gushing.
Oh my, I was. You should see me. Like, I feel like I'm like, I don't know, smitten or something. I'm
were very smitten. Yeah. I was laughing.
So, I don't know. Like, but it was, I had what completely amazed me about this interview is just how knowledgeable he is about our entire craft. You know,
it's crazy, dude. Like we didn't have to drive the conversation. Like, I barely said a thing. Like he was like all over it. He was totally on it, like just diving deep down into these things. And I think off the air we showed him David's video, and the first thing he asks was what any of us would ask. How did you get the volumetrics on the fog and that stuff working with the pixels and the voxels and the thing and the lathe? And so that just really impressed me because, you know, he's got, which we didn't realize, this whole graphics background that was kind of like a prequel to his like audio stuff. So it's just an amazing conversation, and it's so geeky and technical. It's not you know, it's not like super I don't know how to describe it, you know. It's not like
it's we're not interviewing him about music, you know, and
exactly,
like his influences and like how he creates beats and stuff. We are straight up talking motion graphics, and it's fantastic. So, hey, before we get into this, I'm sorry to skip back a little bit, but a little bit of Cinema 4D news. So, with at least Ravcock, what's your flavor?
Yeah, that's on the notes for after.
Oh, it's on the
interview.
Notes. I'm sorry. You know me, I never look at the notes. Yeah, all right, let's go ahead and get into the interview. So, enjoy this interview that we had with Joel, our good friend Joel.
Joel, as we call him now. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Okay, so like I'm like super excited to, I mean, this is kind of like the ultimate get, you know, like we get some good people throughout who, you know, are big in motion graphics, and we've scored some really good like interviews and stuff like that, but this is like, this is international. Like, I told my family about this and they knew who I was talking about, so that feels good. So I'm super excited that today we get to interview deadmau5. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. I'm just so glad this is a thing, and I want to tweet this out after, because I think I think more people need to be aware of kind of what's going on with our show content and stuff, and how it's developed, and how those, you know, and see that those communities exist, because you know, a lot of people really take visuals and music or stage performance in my case, which is what I'm developing now, is like kind of just like for granted, you know, like you're gonna get it. Well, where do they come from? What kind of work goes into it? Who are these artists? Oh, I didn't even know this was a viable career, and it fucking is at some of the rates I've seen, you know. Trust me, that was like actually the second motivator for me to get this was the money I save on paying a production company to do this shit. It was like,
I bet.
Wow, I'm in the wrong fucking business, man. I've been making music this whole time. I could have done motion graphics for a fucking musician who's willing to pay for it because he doesn't know how to do it himself and will never learn, you know.
I saw that you were on the front page of Reddit yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
The
video of you finding the guy who
for the belt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one's been making the rounds. It's weird. It just comes and goes, and it's like 5 years.
Yeah.
And then the news like picks it up, like, "Hey, look what just happened last week." I'm like,
"Right,
yeah."
I was laying in bed with my wife the other night, and I was showing her that video, and she just got this big smile on her face with like how excited you got over that.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason I got excited really was because like I don't know what it is, but like you gotta sift through so much crap when you're dealing with electronic music.
Yeah. I'm like, sure, yeah.
Because it's so accessible and everyone can do it. So everyone can do a demo and everyone can send you an idea, you know, and that's cool, but you know.
Yeah,
I got this idea, check it out. And I'm like, I'm automatic. Yeah. Like,
well, how long have you been working in 3D? I was thinking, this is a new thing that he's getting into, you know, he's gonna start creating his own concert visuals and stuff. And it's like, I was thinking to myself, holy crap, he's like so much better than, I've been doing this forever, and he's like a million times better than me just in like the little bit of time that he's been using this. And it's like, but no, how long have you been doing this? I mean, you're talking about Houdini and 3ds Max. You must have been doing this 3D stuff for a while.
Well, I've always been like kind of a over the shoulder looker guy when it comes to my everything, you know. So except for, you know, my music, when I'm making music, that's just kind of a me thing, and that's all. It's the way it's always been. But then, of course, when things got upscaled in my career, and then we had to start obviously bringing other elements in, like, okay, well, you need a music video, right? So I'm the guy who's like basically sitting in the production truck, you know, looking at the guys doing the work and learning what they do, so that when I start to make suggestions, they're founded and I don't sound like a fucking moron. And right, they know right. that I know what they're talking about, and we can get what exactly mm-hmm. what we want through that language. And the same kind of applied to the show content. And the way that that happened is that so the way our shows over the last like 5 years have relatively worked is that we get together a lot of really cool, like, you know, motion graphic guys, and they bring their workstations to a warehouse. And then we set mm-hmm. up the stage. Like, we set it up like you would see it on a stage. We build every light fixture, smoke, all the way down to the smoke machines, you know what I mean? And shit like that. Mm-hmm. So that the light guys can get a really good sense of, you know, how it's all going to look. Because you have things like, you know, light warm-up times that you just can't account for in CAD.
Right.
So you can't, mm-hmm. you can pre-program a bit, but it's always best to have everything on and running and while everyone's there. So we set up our rigs, like, you know, out in some warehouse or a rehearsal studio somewhere, it depends. And we get all the content developers together and the light techs and everybody and rehearse building the stage and taking it down because you got to do it quickly, you know, mm-hmm. like
it's right.
So that's how that happens. And now when the content guys are chugging away, you know, and this goes back, you know, 10 years or so, you know, I was always like, you know, kind of over their shoulders in the back looking like, you know, hey, oh, that, well, not looks easy, but, you know, something I could get into and something yeah. I might enjoy. So, you know, as I'm watching them do that, I can offer advice and feedback and stuff like that. Not like tips, but, you know, just
right.
things that I could say, oh, can we just take this? And I know this plugin for this that you can use for that, actually. And they're like, oh, cool. You know, so it's kind of like a feedback thing as opposed to, you know, the rock star who just shows up to the first show and he's like,
right,
expecting everything mm-hmm. to work and look great and not have to worry about it. But there, you know, there are some guys too that are just so fucking busy with everything else that they can't worry mm-hmm. about that shit. So we need to outsource that work, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll never learn enough to be able to 100%, you know, do my whole show, like as in everything from light design to stuff, even though I have enough kind of tidbits and info to stuff like that. But that's not the point, because it's a collaborative effort and you want these different styles and these different artists with different ideas to come together and do the thing. But mm-hmm. it's just so much better to kind of learn their craft so you can talk their language. Was the main idea. And then, you know, as that went on, it was something that appealed to what I would do in my free time if I wasn't a musician, you know? So mm-hmm. the interest kind of, you know, it's just fun to learn and do things. And then if you produce something, even if it's a 10-second fucking thing that was only used like for like 1 second in the show, you could, you know, you get that. I made that. You know, like that's yeah. cool. You yeah, know, like yeah. It's like, you know, you guys sure get that all the time. If you do like a title sequence for Fox News or fucking whatever, you know, you see yeah. it and you're like, hey, awesome. You know, it gives you that sense of achievement and accomplishment. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, you're huge. I mean, you're worldwide, you know,
sure.
I mean, don't you already have that sense of achievement? You know?
It's yeah, like... but I mean, why stop there? You know, like,
right?
I'm not saying, oh, I'd be bored to death if I only had to make music all the time. You know, like, hey, maybe uh-huh. my music would be like a million times better than it is now if I didn't bother with any of the shit. Just do that. You know, it probably would be, but
yeah,
I have ADHD fucking, you know, development stuff. You know, so if I see someone doing something cool and it's new and it's interesting, it's, you know, it's like getting a hot girlfriend every 3 months, you know, it's awesome.
Did did you start in 3D? Like, what was your first 3D thing you ever messed with?
The first 3D thing I ever dicked with was when I was in high school, I want Macromedia made it.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that one? And it was really terrible. It was like, well, of course it was. It was like 20 years old. It was when Macromedia was Macromedia. They had yeah. a 3D uh-huh. thing, and then one of the, like, we had a satellite school that hosted tech classes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So mm-hmm. course, just drawn to that magnet program, of course, and they were teaching Flash and Shockwave, and they were two yeah. very different things.
Oh yeah,
and I never understood uh-huh. the Shockwave thing, but whatever. And then they had a 3D app, but I can't remember what it was called, but it was ridiculous. And then I got into that and was like, whoa, I can move around in like 3D space and make balls and like a little crappy alien head or something like that, you know, and then that was my first taste of like, so that's how they do this, you know.
Right.
And you learn things like keyframing and shit that, you know, still applies now on the most basic of levels. And then I was like, yeah, that's cool. So when it came full circle to me, I saw how it was done and how, you know, oh, you have to render these frames to video and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't a moron, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't devil magic to me.
You know? Right.
So have you used like 3D Max and all those other programs too?
I'm pretty sure I've been through it all the way, like Bryce 3D was like the ultimate instant gratification. Now, Toronto, there was a really, like, you know, a big rave scene out here. Like, and by rave, I mean actual rave, not Ticketmaster rave. So this is like early 90s, late 80s. Those raves, right? So like a lot, for whatever reason, another thing that got me really into the 3D stuff was that all these flyers were like, you know, done in 3D apps and stuff like that with like just crazy amounts of specular and reflection and all that stuff. So they would make these like really techie looking drum and bass flyers, like a 3D skull kind of thing. And I was like, man, that's some cool art, you know, and how do they do that? And, you know, and then there was a lot of like, you know, Bryce 3D abuse where they would do some ethereal mountain, like the water and all that stuff, because it was just so quick to do. So, you know, the kid could do it and it's not like a big industry. So a lot of it was really hack, you know, and then before that, and then all that kind of tied in with demo scene stuff I was seeing and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, I got to get into doing that kind of shit.
So were you kind of learning? I mean, you were doing your music, of course. I mean, you've been doing your music forever, you know?
Yeah.
And like, was it like right when you were starting your music, you were learning 3D and then you just decided to go over to the music and like,
No. It was all at the same time, because I mean, it was at a time in my life where it was like, what am I going to fucking do? You know, what is my job going to be? You know, oh, I should do music, but I shouldn't plan on being Dead Mouse because, you know, that's like, you know, so much luck and this and time and place and where you put yourself to expose yourself to those opportunities. It's just not worth 100%ing that. So I was like, okay, well, if that doesn't work out, I want to be a digital artist, whether it's Flash, you know, web design. I did a lot of that. I did a lot of coding in Flash, like ActionScript and all that stuff. And just, you know, Photoshop. I had a part-time job working for a newspaper designing the coupon section. So, you know, a company would go and pay for advertising space, but they didn't have a graphic designer. So I worked for, you know, a guy who just shat those out using you know, CorelDRAW. All that stuff. So I've had many odd jobs, but they all gravitated towards digital media, you know, like audio. I was editing TV or radio commercials, you know, and stuff like that. So I could apply my audio knowledge to that. And then, you know, so it was just like digital media. That's what I wanted to do. That would be my fallback. So if it really wasn't for me and the bright idea of sticking on a foamy mouse head, I could be at, you know, some firm, you know, doing their graphic design or, you know, maybe working in a production house and doing motion graphics or, you know, that was,
that's so awesome. That is so awesome.
And so Houdini, I guess, is one of the programs you've messed with around with too, right? And transitioning into Cinema 4D is probably a little easier than going the opposite direction, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, having a Neve console and all the analog gear in the world, and then be like, oh, dude, Fruity Loops, it's the shit.
Yeah.
fuck this thing, you know, like, this is all big. I can run this on my iPhone now, you know? It's kind of that, it feels like that kind of logic, but a tool's a tool, and very much can like be said about, you know, music production too. It's like, oh, I've got a you know, $25,000 15-year-old Moog synth that's analog classic, or sorry, 40-year-old synth, and it's great and stuff like that. But a result is a result, and everybody knows that. You know, so
totally. You're using Octane, right? And I've noticed that you've been using iRay.
Well, that's the thing. iRay, I'm getting into a lot now because of, well, there's two sides to it. One is that, you know, it's a good render. It is. If mm-hmm. you let it, you know, kind of fucking sit there and do its thing and all that stuff. And NVIDIA is a really cool company that, you know, we've been in bed with on a lot of projects. One mm-hmm. our my land here, we've done a lot of, you know, events together, and we're family. I know all the yeah. guys there, and yeah. I use a lot of their products for gaming and streaming, and you know, and now it got talks like, guys, how can we incorporate, you know, your GPU technology into the show, you know, in a way that's not whatever, like I just did it for the sake of doing it. I really want to mm-hmm. use some new technology as opposed to, you know, hey, can we put a sticker on a laptop and then just show it in a commercial
or
interview or something like that? Because it's just like, it's useless, you know, it's for mm-hmm. both, you know, like I don't need a sticker, and they don't need to give away shit, you know, for nothing. You know, they want to yeah. see it put to work, right?
Right.
Just like, anyway, like, it's like, so you don't want to give Mario Andretti a car just so we can park it in his fucking garage and never drive.
No. Yeah. Right.
So we've been doing a lot of interesting things, and one of the kind of things that I am working on that I'm not going to talk about too much is that all this rasterized rendering stuff is good and great and all and stuff like that, but really there's no reason why that cube cannot run in it within a game engine.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and do real time stuff. Well, there are a couple reasons why it doesn't, and one is because how do you make enough content to, you know, whatever, when you can just shit out a render over like lots of time. But making a scene is a lot of programming and shading and all this stuff, and then mm-hmm. you know, how do you flip from one scene to another without, you know, reloading another file like instantly? So we're working on that out through mm-hmm. like a game mm-hmm. engine, through like Unreal. And of course I approached NVIDIA and I said, well, you know, we're going to be running this on Titans, like one Titan will power the cube, no problem, you know? And then they're like, yeah. Okay, well, let's work on that. So we've been working on that in parallel. And then mm-hmm. on top of that, they're like, well, what are you doing in the interim? And I'm like, well, I'm rendering out content, you know, and of course using NVIDIA GPUs, just like everyone else. So it's like, you know, I'm just throwing CUDA cores at Octane and all that stuff. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, we can supply the cards for that and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, they give you a little rig. And
yeah, I noticed you had like 9 cards or something.
Yeah.
Well, I think
sitting
there's
like analyzing your cards when you post stuff.
But I'll explain a few things. But the problem with that is you kind of throttled by your network, and you, like, my render time is like 2 seconds a frame mm-hmm. internally. But if you account in for bringing the PNG data back or the render data back over the network, it's actually mm-hmm. longer than rendering locally mm-hmm. off one yeah. machine because of you know, your bandwidth through your network, right?
It's 'cause yeah.
4 meg a second or something like that if you're doing 1 frame a second. So there's no way your render is going to be real time. Now, interesting thing about iRay is if you're fortunate enough to log into their Santa Clara VCA, what it does, mm-hmm. their VCA is just cranking away on your thing, and it's just a single point connection, but it's sending back a video,
mm-hmm.
but you can't tell at the time. On the server end, it's rendering frames however you want, like if you want a PNG sequence or whatever. But for the IPR, it's sending back H.264, which you can get like 4K, and you don't really need that much bandwidth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So uh-huh. you're sitting there, you know, modeling away, and you're seeing like, you know, 40,000 iteration renders in real time, you know, moving around your screen. You're like, holy fuck, you know. But yeah, that makes sense because I'm looking at a video file, right? But mm-hmm. how would it be if on the other end it's printing out PNGs while I'm doing this? Well, it can, but then there comes your network problem again. You have to suck all that stuff back. So you have to do it after the fact. So I was like, fuck, guys, this render is fucking great in the sense that, you know, I can work pretty much full quality in my IPR for what I'm doing, you know, like with the amount of rays and stuff like that. It's not over the top volumetric fucking craziness with light and all this mm-hmm. builds of ray bounces, but for what I'm doing, it's actually pretty good. And so now it's not here yet, but it should be here actually like tomorrow or whatever. I got one of those GP100, well, 8 of them in one VCA core.
Jeez. Oh, nice.
So I'm going to stick that in here. And then since it'll all be local, I'll be rendering as fast as I'm creating. Actually, I'll be slower creating than rendering. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice problem to have.
Yeah.
I can do my things, update my show content like pretty much instantly in the interim until our stuff comes out. So, and iRay is still really young, so it doesn't quite have a lot of, you know, kind of under the hoodness that Octane has, with like when you're doing mm-hmm. your shading and stuff like that, and some just mm-hmm. some few basic things that you would expect out of a production render, because I think they started iRay internally as a thing to just do their own products with, because hey, fucking NVIDIA money, let's make a renderer, fuck it, and never sure. sell it, because who cares, right? mm-hmm. They used it to model their things, and then they started going into the automotive industry. In mm-hmm. like, so you go to McLaren or you go to Ford or whatever, and you want to see your car paint and all that stuff. They're like, "Oh, we can do this real time." So it was really boutique renderer, and it was like they didn't account for how it would be used in a production renderer, like because they're like, "Well, you're rendering out single beauty frames. You're not doing motion graphics with it and stuff like mm-hmm. that." Now they're starting to see the, you know, potential it could have as its own standalone kind of renderer thing. And their thing is like, I think Octane is fast for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. that's how I feel about Octane. Octane's fucking great too. I've been switching it up between the two, because there's just mm-hmm. certain things Octane does that iRay doesn't. One being like, you know, static noise samples every scatter, you know what I mean? Whereas Octane dynamic noise, you know, noise. For right, the sample yeah. scatter on the start, but iRay doesn't do that. So if you stop all motion and then render out a whole bunch of frames, it doesn't give you that film grain look. It's just printing right. the exact same image every time, and you're like, eh.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you know, I'm on the yeah. horn with those guys, and I'm sure a lot of other guys are too. Are like saying, hey, put this in, do this. Let's get under the hood with the, you know, the shaders and stuff like that, and add more. Yeah. It's a really big beast of a renderer now, but. It just needs to be tweaked and tuned a bit, and then hopefully maybe one day they'll do a standalone for it, so you can get in under the hood like Octane does, because right now it's just a really, not crappy, but very minimal hack plug-in front end that's addressing the kernel, you know, that doesn't exist.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've used iRay. I played around with it quite a bit, and I find it's super snappy. It's really quick. But my biggest problem I have with it is the MDL shaders. It's like I have no clue how to like
yeah.
manipulate those very well. And
yeah, you know what? You know. It's a little kludgy. But you know, I spend about, you know, 2-3 hours with it, just trying to do the things that I would do with other shader libraries and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. It's once you get into it, you'll figure out its workflow. It's just more them needing to update that workflow, as opposed mm-hmm. to forcing you to go so far under the hood to figure out, how do I just add a fucking emission to something? You know, like, it takes a minute. Yeah. It's yeah. a lot different than you would do it in Octane, whereas I just drop a node and then I'm done. It's all there. It's just in a weird way, you know. So that explains the iRay thing, and then plus, you know, NVIDIA, of course, would love that, you know, a lot of my content be produced with iRay, so they go, iRay,
right. yeah,
as seen on deadmouse.com. You know?
how many of those giant heads do you have?
Mm.
And do you have a room specifically just to store them? Like,
yeah. Actually, I do. it's under, like, in the machine room in the basement. And I've got, like, all these crates and goofy crap that, like, are, like, where mouse heads go to die. Because I always, like, tend to just kind of cart one out until the wheels fall off. And mm-hmm. then then just do a new one. So there's all these, like, broken ones. And it's where eras go to die.
Okay, so let me ask you about the classes that you've been doing, because Dave actually signed up for that class before we even
the master
which
class.
One was
it? Oh, that
the master class.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of my candid approach to like making music. They sent me over the master class, this brand or this company that does these things, you know, kind of sent it off, and I you know, I've always been approached by, you know, so and so company saying, hey, you want to do like a tutorial on how to do this, and then we'll give you this product, and then it's going to be very product oriented. I won't mention any names due to a non-disclosure documents in place and such, but you know, they would say, here's a product, and then now do a tutorial with us, you know, and how you do something, but try and use our product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if I don't really use it, that's kind of awkward, but
exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Gay for pay. So we do that. And this one kind of came across from Masterclass, and then I was like, well, what do they want to sell? You know, and I was like, oh wait, nothing. You know, it's just actually about doing a class. And they're like, yeah, no, people buy the class, so it's not an ad. It's not like something we just throw up on YouTube and then put your face on. It gets a lot of views, and then we collect ad revenue, and that's how we're able to pull it off. It's more like, you know, like a thing. And I was like, holy shit. And then I've never actually heard of Masterclass until then. And then I looked them up, and they're like, Werner Herzog. And Kevin Spacey. And I was like, holy fuck, this is like, these dudes legit. Are serious, you know? So
yeah, it's legit.
So like, I'm like, why are they asking me? You know, that's so weird. You know, like I felt like kind of taken down a few pegs because I was like, fuck man, there's like so, well, not like, well, shit, that's why. But I just mean like a lot of electronic musicians out there who are really great at their craft. And I thought that was a really cool thing. So I had to do it. You know, I was like, fuck, man, I got to get in on that because they wanted me to be the kind of dude. So they came, and it was like a 3-week shoot where they literally destroyed my house and turned it into like a lab, you know. So I had all these post rooms and pre-biz rooms and all this stuff, and they carpeted everywhere. It just literally blew up my house for like, you know, a couple weeks filming this thing. And they were like, okay, well, you know, like there's no script. Just let's maybe we got some bullets of like what to talk about maybe, and then you can touch on those subjects and you can talk for like hours and hours and hours. And of course they edited it down because obviously what was said and done all those days, so it's like probably have it be like a 3-4 day long masterclass, no problem.
Right.
But they get the parts that they feel are, you know, useful and stuff like that, and kind of get the information they need just by kind of coaching you before filming. And then you'll notice like they're all basically one shot. You know, there's no editing. So they were like, you know, just be you, do your thing and explain what you do and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, man, that's awesome. I can't believe they haven't done one on 3D yet. Maybe I should put that down the line.
There you go.
Yes, you should.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
You guys can Thunderdome it
like,
out.
I mean, you've seen there's a lot of tutorials online. I mean, that's where we started, you know, just doing tutorials and stuff like that to get it out there. So I feel like the MoGraph community really, we're all about sharing, you know.
Oh, totally.
We learn something, we're like, push it.
Far more about motion graphics online that is useful information than in less time. Like, we're talking a whole career's worth of music, you know, than you'd learn. Because the thing about motion graphics is a lot of it is not so subjective and more as it is factual. Whereas music, you know, if you ask a guy about opinion in a mix, oh, you're going to get dudes who are just basically applying their own tastes to an opinion and then enforcing it and then saying, that's the right way you should be doing it. But with motion graphics, it's technical, you know, so it's not belief or opinion or taste. This is how you fucking do it, you know, and it's bang, 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 bang. So that exchanging information in that kind of way is so much easier to absorb because you're not getting some dude's opinion, you know, you're getting a workflow, his workflow or his method or his workaround kind of thing. And that's it. And I've learned so much that I don't think anyone needs to go and go to, I don't know, the School of Motion Graphics, you know, for 70 a year, you know, like so much fucking online that even if you're not just trying to learn, if you want to just learn to do one specific thing, you have a shot in mind, like, okay, I want my text to come across the screen and I want it to dissolve into sand and then blow away. You will probably find a tutorial that does exactly fucking that.
And an Andrew Kramer tutorial that does that exact thing.
I'm sure, you know, like probably, or like, I want to make a Rubik's Cube. Where do I, you know, and then you can find an hour long fucking video of a kid, you know, from Germany going on about here's how you make a Rubik's Cube and here's how you incorporate like a motion system so you don't have to do keyframes and all that shit. And you're like, fuck, man, this is great. like, oh, everything's just so concise, and because it's not subjective, you find that there are no dickheads in the community. You know what I mean? Well, maybe one or two, but
yeah,
but not,
yeah, there's,
but it's not, it's not rampant with that, you know, because there's no how many, is there genres of motion graphics? No, it's just kind of all one thing, you know. But with electronic music, you have your dubstep camp that absolutely hates the you know, the trance camp, and you know what I mean. So you get some factions, and it's all, yeah, you know, everything's divided into subgenres. So you get little armies scattered around here and there, and then if you're just in there to learn, you're like in a war zone, you know, like this camp's opinion and this camp, this sucks, this is in, this is out, this is not a thing anymore. You know what I mean? But whereas motion graphics, there's no faction. So everyone's just focused on learning, you know? And so that attitude of superiority, there is none, you know?
And everybody's really nice about criticism and constructive criticism and, and that kind of thing online.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a different thing. It's a completely different world. So it's not like, you know, you're thinking like, well, I've seen tutorials online, so this is really unattractive to me because, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so for someone who's in the motion graphics industry who would love to get into concert visuals, you know, as someone who kind of has the background of, you know, doing your own concert visuals as well as the music, how would you suggest for someone who wants to do that to really like step up their game and like, you know, somehow do it?
I think that like it very much is in line with like, how do I, it's like asking, how do I become a famous musician? Or how do I become a great musician? Because they're two different things, you know. It's like, well, to become a great motion graphics designer, watch, you know, shit like this. Join communities, be a part of this, watch tutorials, get involved. That's like no-brainer. Anyone can fucking do that, and anyone can become a great motion graphics designer. But that's great. You're great and you're awesome. You've seen literally every tutorial. You can whip shit up like a ninja, no problem, and knock stuff out. And then you enter the world of like, you know, getting out. And it's all part of like, you know, just like the way being a musician is, it's joining communities. Like my first music community I joined was a little shit one in Chicago called Section Z at the time, which was like basically paramount to like a BBC board or a BBS board, you know? So had a couple hundred people on it, but one out of those hundred people like are going to go somewhere and then, you know, refer to your work, you know? Just like Beeple, you know, he's put in, you know, a lot of time in community, you know, online and offline, and peddled around and applied his craft in the real world as well. And, you know, now he's just like a name, you know. So so guys like me, I don't know shit about motion graphics. I don't know fuck all about your communities and stuff like that. I come around, well, I didn't then, or, you know, assuming I don't, and assume everyone else doesn't either, you know. I need a good designer. Best motion graph designer. You know, G Monk, Chris Cunningham, you know, people, and this and that. You know, those are the dudes that are going to. And then, of course, they're just, it's like that feedback effect, you know, and then their name gets around more because the artists are talking about them internally, you know, not so much like saying it on their, you know, at their Grammy speech, but, you know. That's kind of how I find guys, sort of like, so then now I can name every major motion graphics studio or post studio like Method and Blur and all that stuff. It's like, and I know their tastes and styles and their rates and can go to for certain things, you know, that I need done. And our production team has that knowledge. Now we have, you know, 22 artists, all of need music videos, all need YouTube intro things, or just, you know, some motion graphics that not just apply to their shows, which is a bigger part of it, because that's a big job of, you know, coming up with like up to 100 minutes of creative original content to show at your show. But you have to also apply that stuff to, you know, spots for social media. A big thing now, believe it or not, with, you know, the record industry or the music industry, rather, is, you know, like I do a record, say, and I have a single and I got to get it up on YouTube, right? Which is backwards, right? Because it's like, why are you using a video thing to show a track? Well, that's just because of the social reach it has, you know, as opposed to, you know, mailing out USB keys or any other website or whatever. The highest traffic one would be YouTube or Facebook or linking to YouTube in some way. That's just the industry standard, as it were, right now. Now, then it gets into, you know, like, okay, they put their track up and they just put a graphic up. You know, that's
what we do for our podcast on YouTube.
You should have, you should rig up an FFT cool little 3D scene and do this thing. But for music, it's more important than a podcast. Anyway, so exactly that. So then some guys got clever. And actually, the first group of dudes I saw doing this was a YouTube station, radio station, as it were, called UKF. And it's like UKF dubstep, right? And it's all just fucking dubstep or whatever, but that doesn't matter. Point aside, they have this speaker and some really cool motion graphics with the tunes that they upload. Now, they're not their tunes and stuff like that, but they would put this like cool thing with this like FFT detection, After Effects crap. And then all of a sudden you start seeing these tutorials popping up like, oh, how to do this with After Effects to make your music visualizer or something like that. Just so it's something on YouTube that looks cool, right? And I'm thinking like, wow, that's a thing, you know? So we have all these artists that you know, output their stuff through our label out onto YouTube, and then we just kind of hire an intern real quick. Hey, just do some After Effects thing and stuff like that. But the cooler it is, the better presentation it has, you know. And sadly, that's a thing, you know, that is associated with music. So, you know, there's so many markets and applications for motion graphics within my industry. So. And I can only imagine it's with everything else, you know, like I don't fully know the MoGraph, like where you can apply your craft.
We're still trying to figure that out.
How
ourselves.
You can market it and, and have a full-time job just sitting, you know, at a desk doing motion graphics and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's between you and your gods, man. But just saying, there's always a huge spot for that kind of thing in the music business.
Thank you so much for being here, man. I feel like I've learned so much, and like it's just so cool of you to like actually take the time to like, I mean, it's so cool to see people like you actually doing this stuff and sharing with us, you know,
sharing with us directly online instead of like through some sort of, you know,
my agent.
Publishing company. And yeah, exactly.
Oh, my Laurel shut this down in about an hour, dude. She's on it. All right, thanks. Thanks so much. I love talking about this stuff. I love learning. And thanks so much, you guys, for, you know, your tutorials and your community, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. Thank you, man.
Later.
So, yeah, did you see how nerdy I was? Like, how geeked out? Like, I was... I'm such a nerd.
You're like, it's just oh my gosh.
I know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like one of those.
You're so.
You know when? never mind. Like a girl is like really into you, you know, and she like laughs at all your stupid jokes and stuff. You know, that's
oh my gosh, you're so funny.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Myron, anyway. You're Myron. Have you seen that subreddit called Myron?
No.
It's women admiring men. It's called Myron.
That's funny.
Myron.
I've seen a bunch of those Justin Trudeau things.
Yeah.
Where like everyone's checking out Justin Trudeau.
Like Trump's daughter or whatever, checking out Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Then I saw one just earlier. It was Justin Trudeau checking out Obama. It's pretty good.
Nice.
Anyway.
So let's get on to RavCock. What's your flavor? RavCock being Redshift, Arnold, V-Ray, Cycles, Octane, and the other one, you know?
Corona.
Corona. Jeez. I can never get through RavCock without forgetting one of them. So here's the big news. Now, first of all, earlier this week on Facebook, I saw Jules Urbach.
Jules Urbach
said, feeling excited. He said, 3.1 update. I'm getting a test build with OSL in the coming weeks. Smiley face. I'm very, very proud of the team and what is coming around the corner. It looks like we'll be able to roll out steady releases from 3.06 to 3.09 incrementally, adding the remaining 3.1 features and a few extra ones too, culminating with 3.10 introducing OSL. I believe adaptive sampling is going to make it into 3.06, which should be out in a week or two, possibly sooner. CTO and AMD Radeon group came by the office today. There's a picture, said it was a great meeting. Now, I don't know, I guess Chad Ashley may have not seen what he wrote here, but there was the picture of him at the AMD Radeon, and like they posted it on Twitter, and he's like, okay, this is very cryptic. There's like no, description of like why they're there, all that.
He didn't see the Facebook post?
I don't think he did, but the thing about that, to me, I saw that post, I thought the same exact thing, which is like, I wonder if they're working out their little bugs, kerfluffle thing they had where they couldn't justify doing an update every week in order to make their stuff work with AMD. Maybe they work something out. But I feel like ever since Sage went off kind of on a mini rant on Reddit, that they've been a little more transparent. But
I don't know. Like I want to say it's really all of us have been talking about how non-transparent they've been. You know, but I mean, it's like, think about it. You kind of, they really dropped the ball on this because it's like what we heard about version 3 and all the stuff that was going to be included in version 3, all the stuff that's included in version 3.1, and then right before they release it, they're like, oh no, none of this stuff is going to be there. It's going to be in 3.1. And
we waited forever.
So it's like they kind of dropped the ball on it. So they're kind of like gauging everyone's, I don't know. This is me talking out my butt.
I kind of wonder like what they are thinking. They need to be the modern company. They need to be responsive, transparent. They need to be a Maxon. They need to be in with their peoples, they need to be a dead mouse, like talking to people on the internet. Dude, like it needs to be now,
Prolific. On Twitter. Like it's crazy. Like
be interactive.
Yeah, totally.
Like talk directly to people, be transparent, like get involved. Don't be like some mysterious company up in a tower, Otoy. Okay.
Yeah.
Like if you want to like keep up your momentum, that you only gained your momentum because you're a great render engine. And everybody's realizing that that's what makes a great render engine, like what you're doing and how fast you are. And everybody's going to catch up. So you're going to have something else to keep people.
Don't be Apple. Don't be Apple.
Exactly.
Like Apple released the iPhone and they were amazing and they had like 100% market share or some ridiculously
Don't
high number
your peeps.
For like years. And now, they're totally losing market share right now because, who cares? It's just a phone.
Well, for them, they're not looking at the long term, the long tail. And we were just talking about this downstairs. My brother's here for Emily's birthday. He's downstairs playing super hot right now. And it was the same thing. They were like, oh my gosh, like what does it take for me to get into one of these? What does it take for me? How can I have nothing that will play VR. I've got no gear. I've got none of that. What's my lowest cost intro to get into this? And I'm like, you go to Best Buy, you get the gaming system that they sell. It's got a 1060 in it, and it's also a great gaming system. It comes with an Oculus Rift for $999. You can finance it, and you pay $250 for the hand controllers, and that's what sells it, right? So that's exactly the same thing that happened with Apple, right? You've got the people that are the early adopters. Then they start talking about it. Then it gets popular. Then they tell their friends and their friends start using it and so on and so forth. And it becomes big. And that's why when the iPhone was introduced, everybody was like, I'm getting that. And then it got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger. Then Apple said, okay, I want to just concentrate on iPhones. I don't give a crap about computers or anybody else apparently anymore. And we're just going to concentrate on it because that's the moneymaker. Mm-hmm. What they don't understand is the long tail, because what's going to happen with Apple is that over time, sales are going to slump, and they're going to be, why is this happening?
Sales are already slumping.
But they're going to be like, why? I don't understand. We keep putting phones out there. Well, you're forgetting what sells it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Otoy. I was a super early adopter.
Yeah, you were.
Initially called like the official Otoy Octane fanboy on the internet.
Yeah, you were.
And more and more, you know, it's like now you go to the Cinema 4D subreddit and like every post is something about Octane or something. Someone rendered an Octane. Like you see less and less just standard render stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's gaining that momentum, except now people are starting to feel a little weird, you know, a little disenfranchised, or the people who never adopted it are seeing other things come out. They're seeing Redshift come out. They're looking at cycles. They're hearing about the fact that Arnold is going over to GPU, and they're like maybe having second thought. Maybe I don't want to get into this right now, you know. And we're still talking up Octane, and we still use Octane every day, and that's our render engine of choice. But like, if somebody is like not ready to get into it, and they ask us right now, we're like, well, look at your options, because if you're not. Like, if you don't know Octane at all right now, well, maybe this is a better option, or maybe you should wait, or, you know, and again, it's that word of mouth thing, just like Mac, just like Oculus Rift. The people that are the early adopters are the ones who are talking it up. And so they're also the people that are reading these posts. They're also the people that are talking to Jules on Facebook, or reading his posts, at least, stuff like that. They're the people that are, you know, just getting all the good early information and passing it along. And if we feel like we're disenfranchised by Otoy, which I hope we don't, because I think that they're awesome, then we're just going to kind of go with whatever is working for us. But look at us now. We're building PCs. We got PC laptops. I'm using less and less Mac every day. And I was the ultimate Mac fanboy. You know, I got that laptop. You know, I posted it on Facebook. I said hell froze over.
It all started with my iMac that I bought was a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know, bottom of the line iMac. It could not even run anything. It was so slow.
Yeah.
I switched over to Windows 10. Man, this thing's smoking fast. Like it's smoking fast, and like my OS X just couldn't even run on the machine that it's supposed to run on. You know.
Yeah.
And so like that started it all for me, getting used to like the Windows interface and stuff like that. I like it.
And I'm still, there's still stupid stuff that Windows does, and I'm like, man, this is so dumb. Like I got like I tried to switch Wi-Fi the other day and I got blue screened of death, and it's like,
did you really?
Yes. I'm like, really, switching from one Wi-Fi to the other, it crashed, and then another thing, and then they got the Xbox streaming interface that's supposed to stream your Xbox, and it is the biggest piece of garbage.
Yeah,
I'm like, a 20 second delay, how am I supposed to play a video game on a 20 second delay? That's pointless. You know,
that's funny.
I've got 150, or I've got 300 megabit internet, and I'm on 802.11n, and I'm right next to the router, and the Xbox cannot stream 802.11n through the freaking router to it without, and I'm looking at the readout, it says it's getting 2 megabit a second. I'm like, I'm like, how? And the thing's glitching, and the audio sounds like garbage, and I'm like, it's completely pointless.
That's a shame.
Like, this streaming thing does not work at all. I don't know if you've messed with it at all.
I haven't tried. Like, the only type of, like, gaming from using my computer and stuff, I've just done Steam. I've got a little Steam Link, you know, and I've played, man, I, you know, it worked great for me.
Yeah, it's the same basic concept, except... except Microsoft just isn't doing it right. And so there's still stuff like that with Windows. And I'm like, are you really driving me, Apple, you're really driving me back to this crap where I just get blue screens all the time and I have driver problems and this thing doesn't work because I installed this thing. And, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. We went off on a tangent. Anyway, it comes back to that whole like being transparent with people, talking to your people, tell them what's going on. You know, I mean, so, what's wrong with doing that? What's wrong with talking about your plan and keeping people updated if it changes?
So they posted that, you know, he had Jules had that post, you know, and then this week they released
3.06.
Is it actual like full 3.06? It is full 3.06.
It's standalone 3.0. Standalone. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, but it's not full 3.06 either. It's like a working version of 3.06, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think it's a full version yet.
It's like a beta of it or something.
Yeah, beta or alpha. So, they release all of that stuff. It's just not like the... If you were to install new, you probably wouldn't want to do that right off the bat. You know, if you want to mess around with it.
On the Octane for Cinema 4D... No, it was either that one or just the Octane Facebook group. Someone asked when we're going to be getting the... like the plug-in versions of it and stuff. And,
just totally Ahmet, dependent on the people who do the plugins,
because they've got their own guys coding individual plugins for that specific, software. Right. So, I saw that Ahmet had commented and he said, yeah, it's probably looking like May or June before we'll have something, blah, blah, blah. And I texted you and David. I was like, oh man, this is cool, but we're not going to get it until like May or June, you know? And you're like, Ahmet will get better than that. I was like, but that was Ahmet who, you know, posted it. And
like, sure Ahmet enough, is going to be all over it.
Sure enough, today already, like a day or two after they release it, Ahmet has posted on the Cinema 4D Facebook, hey, here's a work in progress version of 3.06. It's like, oh man, dude, you are all over this. He is super bad, eh?
Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you, I'm real excited because like the big thing that is coming to it is the adaptive sampling.
And I am super excited about giving that a try.
It could really change the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, I even had a question this week on one of our YouTube videos about Octane. It's like, okay, I've got all these lights in the scene, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but in the dark areas, I've got all this noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I even told him, I said, you know what? When adaptive sampling comes out, I really think this is going to fix your situation.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, at first I said, unfortunately, that's not happening for another 3 to 6 months. I have to go back and say, oh, never mind, you can try this. But
I'm really interested in giving it a try.
Yeah, so it's based on a noise threshold, which is really cool. And this is something that Deadmau5 actually talked about, which is you've got that moving dynamic noise, which is which is in Octane. And I noticed because I started playing with iRay this week that it's not in there. If you take a box and you've got the live viewer or the equivalent of the live viewer on for iRay, right, and just have a cube or something, don't touch the cat. You're going to screw it up. You're going to screw it up. Touch him with your sole of your shoe.
I know.
You're going to stop the recording. Okay, so, if you're using Octane, and let's just say you have a basic cube in your scene, and you got the live viewer on, you're rotating it around. You know, you see that noise, because it's like really quick shading, you know, before you let go and it actually, you know, samples the whole thing. So you see that noise, but it's moving. It's a dynamic moving noise through it, right? If you do that with iRay and you sit there and you move a cube around like really fast, you'll notice that the static is exactly the same. And that's something he brought up. If something stops moving...
Is that the same as like clicking on the static noise thing on... Okay.
It is. You have the option to go to static noise in Octane, but like, you know, Joel brought up, is that when you do that in iRay, like if something stops completely, if it stops moving, you see the noise stop moving as well.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw. I mean... I believe that's correct based on what I've seen so far. I've only spent a little time with it.
We had done a video. It was one of the big Christmas videos that we did at the end of the year last year. And I was like, I'm just going to stick static noise on there so I won't get a whole bunch of like crazy, you know, blurb, you know, so that I can just render this out at a lower sample rate. And sure enough, it looked dumb. You know?
Yeah, you see it. It's like you have a layer of just paused noise on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so really what this does is, you know, you've got that noise in your octane render, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's got that level of noise in there. Plus, you've got the noise from the samples being low. Mm-hmm. And then as the samples go up, you have less and less noise. And so there's this threshold that's going to be in there. I haven't had a chance to play with this yet. So there's going to be a threshold in there. This is just announced like a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
So once it gets to a certain threshold in a certain area, like let's say you have a bunch of light on something and it looks great because you got the light just dead on it, right? And but then you have those shadows and they're super noisy, you know, maybe from another light that has less samples, or if it's a fall off thing, whatever it is, you got that noise kind of going around it. Well, you kind of reach that noise threshold in the good areas, and then Octane says, okay, this part's done. I'm going to stop using samples here. I'm going to dedicate the samples over to this area here, and it kind of cleans it up. So that's, I mean, in a nutshell, that's kind of how it is. I mean, there's way more to it, you know. You've got adaptive strength, minimum samples, group pixels. There's a bunch of and of course the noise threshold. So you know, there's a lot. We're going to have to dig into it in order to really talk about it, because I don't want to talk too much about something that I haven't opened yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just really cool. That's really cool. I'm really excited about it. I think, you know, if they do it right, it's going to just super, super boost our render times. And plus, I mean, imagine that plus Pascal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, if you think your 1080 is fast now, just wait. So,
yeah, for sure. I was going to say something. Now I don't even remember what it was. Sorry, my cat's over here breathing really loudly for some reason. It just totally like threw me off. Did you try out Redshift this weekend?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
No.
I played around with it some more. Like,
that's it.
There's a newer version. Like, I hadn't. So I was on the beta. I'm on the beta. You know, I played around with it for a little bit, but then the beta trial ran out, and I was talking to Chad. Chad was messaging me on. Chad just started a Redshift Slack. So I don't know if I'm supposed to mention that or not. I don't know why I wouldn't, but if you want to be on the Redshift for Cinema 4D Slack channel or whatever, hit up Chad Ashley. So he'll throw you an invite.
Yeah, I'm interested to get into that.
I don't really
know
how Slack works. So.
It sounds like he's really digging it. So
yeah, it really does. But the he was telling me he was asking me, you know, hey, are you still using Redshift? I said no, my beta ran out. He said, oh, you just have to click on reactivate. Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. yeah.
So like I went in there, reactivated. Sure enough, you know, it worked great. So I downloaded a newer version, 2.5. I think they're on the 2.5 alpha. I was on like 2.08.
That's the one I downloaded yesterday. Yeah. I haven't activated
2.5. Man, it's it feels so much faster than it did. Nice. You know, and I'm really digging it, man. I'm digging like just how easy it is to do like volumetrics and do subsurface scattering and stuff like that. Like it's cake to do that stuff.
Yeah.
When it is just painful to do that in Octane. So,
yeah, so we'll see where
it goes. I've got this one office scene that, you know, I've put with all the render engines just to try it out, you know, to see which one looks the best. And actually it rendered way faster than it did previously. And I was even doing like volumetrics, lights and stuff like that. And, man, it was, I'm really liking Redshift.
Yeah.
Really liking it. So.
And those 1080s too, there's another, rumor going around, because everybody's been talking about when they're going to do it, like a 1080 Ti type thing. And there's a rumored 1080 Ti release date, update February 16th. What's today? 19th.
Today is the 19th, yeah.
Update February 16th. Turns out there's an NVIDIA GeForce GTX gaming celebration going on around the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco in a couple weeks. A graphics card is only as good as the screen it's outputting to, blah, blah, blah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean GTX 1080 Ti will be the guest of honor, but there were previous rumors of the card appearing sometime around March 10th at the PAX event in Boston. So, just more more rumors in the rumor mill. So
you
we'll
know
see.
What's crazy to me? So NVIDIA did this. If you guys, I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, but the NVIDIA did the thing with Deadmau5 on the like the custom computers he was building, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they were basing them all off of his cars and stuff, which was really cool. And so NVIDIA is building these boxes for him, and they're not doing water cooling or anything, you know. And the what is it? VCA? Is that what it was? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, VCA.
The VCA that he got, they're not water cooled at all. There's like 8 of them in there, and they're just pumped right in there from what it looked like. Wow. You know, it's like, do we really have to worry about the water cooling?
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Are we allowed to talk about it? He posted it on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
He posted the VCA.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Well, now you got me all nervous.
No, because you're right. You're right. He posted it and people were talking about it. So
yeah, I even asked him what their render times were and stuff like that. So
cool.
But yeah, like, I mean, that's on the, so I don't know. I think it's interesting that they're not doing, like, NVIDIA is the ones building these machines and they're not using water cooling, you know? They're just sticking the cards in there. So, the 4 cards that we have in our machine, I guess we don't have to worry about it too much.
Well, you just watch the temperatures. It's really the water cooling allows you to overclock.
Yeah, see,
that's the thing. It's not like they don't work without, you know, it's not like they're going to overheat. You've got safeguards in place. It's just that if you have water cooling, you can push them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really all it is. I just wasn't sure because we actually ended up talking after the interview for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, now in my head,
he's such a cool guy. Like,
I'm thinking like what, you know, what did we talk about? Like, there was some stuff that, you know, was after show talk, you know, like, wait, did we talk about that on the, on the interview or off the interview?
I've actually watched the interview like twice.
You're funny.
Well, once by myself to like make sure that everything was good, and then I let Amy watch it.
Your wife,
My wife. I let Amy watch it the other day, and she liked it. I guess, you know,
it's pretty good. I guess
it's pretty good. I guess. So anyway,
one other thing I wanted to cover real quick before we go is that Mocha is going to do Mocha VR. Imagineer Systems posted this video, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes, for motion tracking 360 video, which is cool.
Because yeah, you know, there's going to be a big need for that. I saw a clip of that or something.
Yeah. I mean, when you do, you know, a lot of your 360 stuff, if you're using something like Nuke and even, you know, After Effects and stuff, you can just unwrap and then track. And it's pretty much, you know,
Here's another thing. Did you see that Substance Designer 6 was released?
Oh, yes. And it's going to have the, what are they, the MDL?
MDL stuff.
Yeah.
As well as, here's one thing that I thought was super cool. So, like, I may be getting this wrong. And if I am, I sincerely apologize. But from what it looked like when I was researching about it, you can take an image that you have like scanned in or something like that, and it will basically create all your different types of stuff, you know?
But it would do that before.
Yes, but like the diffuse, like it will do, say you throw like, I used to have this problem all the time when I did wallpapers for like 3D images and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They'd be, the hell was that? Gosh. Oh, it's my kid playing with a freaking lightsaber. He should be in bed. Anyway, what was I saying? So we used to have this problem. We would take photographs, you know, of these wallpapers because they were way too big. The patterns were way too big to like scan in on a scanner and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or even if we were scanning them in, you'd get this like slight difference around the edges or, you know, something like that. So I think this actually gives it the ability to even everything out and then pull the different channels from that. Like, so you can get an even diffuse channel, you know, or an even diffuse color and stuff like that, which is way awesome. Like, that's super killer. If that was around back in the day, that could have saved me hours and hours of time.
Well, and if we, you know, get into more of the iRay stuff too, that's going to be super useful because I'm already digging the idea of like designing a lot of textures in Substance Designer and then just bringing them in.
Yeah, totally. Never
Octane or anything else.
Totally.
And so, like, this would just be...
Like, Substance Designer is such an awesome program, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's cool building your own, like, textures and stuff like that within Cinema 4D, you know, mm-hmm. or something. But actually, like, having a dedicated material, you know, program, especially one that's all, like, node-based and stuff like that, and the amount of, like, noise and, like, textures and grunge textures and stuff that they've got in Substance Designer is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that to me sells it. And I don't know. It just, and it's so cheap. It's so cheap. Like, it's like, what, $200 or $150 or something like that?
$300, I think.
Is it? But, yeah, but then you can also, like, rent it for $20 a month. And yeah. that each time, that $20 goes toward you or actually purchasing it.
You know, that's something I wish Otoy would do with the rental stuff.
Yeah, totally. What bugs me is that you can only do the two card limit or something like that on the Octane VR.
But you know, there is like a 20 card limit on the regular version.
Oh, there is? You know that? I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Yeah. Huh. I think that might be a software limitation though, you know, or something.
Hmm. But anyway.
Anyway, that's all we're doing today.
we did get a new review.
Oh.
Yeah. I was looking it up today.
Hold Better on. Better be five that. Star.
I have a feeling it probably is.
We are we've got 10 more days left in our contest.
10 more days in our contest. We're giving away a free t-shirt. So get your iTunes review in.
We'll randomly draw.
Yeah, we will randomly draw right now. Let's see, we've got, where are we? I'm confused. June. Oh boy, it's not putting them in order anymore.
Oh boy. Really?
Boy, here I go killing again. No, then I've only got like, oh boy, that's confusing. I'm going to have to look at that. I think we got a new one. February 14th. Yeah. Hey bros, just started listening and I've been loving it so far. Keep it up. Thank you. That was Matisse Flex, I believe. Mattis right. Flex.
Matisse.
32 five-star reviews. That's pretty dope.
Dope. It's all right. We'll have a whole bunch of people who are listening to it this time. They'll be like, because they want to hear Deadmau5. And we're like, who are these jerkwads?
One star. You can
give him a one star review. Get him down That's like 500 on iTunes.
That's what they all sound like. like the guy from the Californians.
The Californians. Let's go surf a little bit and get a little bit pitted.
You know? What are you doing here?
What are you doing, Stuart?
Stuart.
Take the 101 to the 405, then over to Mulholland Drive, you know? Go check out the La Brea Tar Pits and then maybe just grab a shark and a barracuda.
Oh, man. We're delirious after 30 minutes of podcasting, so.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, man, it's ridiculous how much podcasting we've done.
Yeah.
Did you see my tweet to Beeple?
I did not. Oh, when, you're next?
Yeah, you're next.
He said,
dude, he's
bring
down.
It.
He's going to be on he's the show. Down.
We got to just figure this out. We got to get through
you
crazy
and I
town
just need to sit down,
here,
figure out what weeks are good, and then I'll send him a message. Yeah. I'll be Gosh. Like, Beeple.
Is he coming to NAB? He didn't come to NAB last year.
I don't know. Beeple, are you coming to NAB?
Beeple, hit us up. Come to NAB. Come hang out.
Yeah.
Buy you a shot.
Yeah.
Or
we'll
five.
Be there. David's going to be there. EJ's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be there.
Everybody's
going to
be there. Everybody's doing it.
Everyone's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. Come on. Yep. You know you want to go. If you're going to go to NAB, please hit us up and let us know because we'd love to meet everybody.
Yes. Every single person ever.
Yep. And don't forget, if you come to NAB, mm-hmm. you got to hang out to get your invitation to the pinball party.
Yeah, because the pinball party is amazing.
Pinball party is so awesome.
Oh, okay, so in the podcast, and this was one thing that I was really excited about that Deadmau5 touched on, is that the community, like going through and networking and stuff like that, you know, when I was asking him how he could recommend someone kind of making it within motion graphics for, you know, mm-hmm. Visuals and stuff like that. Well, he talked about when he was starting out, he just joined this little, you know, the little group or whatever. You guys all know, you just listen to it, you know?
Right.
But And that's one thing that he talked about that was so important was, you know, networking and stuff like that. And that's that, to me, I believe is the number one thing that you can do in order to, like, you know, get your name out there and get people to know who you are is just networking. And so this is a great mm-hmm. opportunity, you know, come by the Maxon booth, I believe, you know, ask about the pinball party and stuff like that. It is so much fun. Last year when we went, I met so many of the big names within this industry.
Yeah, I think I met all my heroes at that party.
Yeah, totally. That was the first time we met Andrew Kramer, you know, and I think we met Nick at that one as well. And we met Chad and we met EJ and we met everyone. Yeah, yeah. And it was such a good meetup.
And
we totally cruised up in like our bright yellow convertible Camaro.
Took the 405.
We took Flamingo Drive over to the desert
from LA. So what's that game we played? That crazy old game there with the horrible bat thing.
Robo Baby Baseball or something like Baby Baseball.
Baby Baseball. It's so much fun, but it's this like antique.
Creepy Baby Baseball.
Creepy Baby Baseball.
That's what they call it.
So it's just an antique baby thing playing baseball, and it's just got like a blower on it. And it pops this ball up into the air with mm-hmm. air, and you've got to hit it. And the thing is, gosh, like 50 years old at least or something.
Oh, man, it's got to be more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody's got to come in and like take a shot at it and see who mm-hmm. gets the most.
I'm proud to say that I was probably the winner last year.
Yeah.
I had like 5 out of 9.
I had one good run. I got like 4, mm-hmm. but that was about it. That was the best I could do.
Yeah. And there's, cheap drinks and free food. Wasn't there free food?
I believe at least cheap.
Yeah, cheap.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys aren't coming to NAB, if you're
missing out.
If you're thinking about it, if you're like on the fence, come to NAB. Come hang out. It's going to be so much fun.
And I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, I'd rather go to Seagraph. And I think it might have been EJ or somebody that said he actually likes NAB more.
Well, here's
the
thing.
It's a little different crowd.
I think NAB is more for the video motion graphics people, you know, and SIGGRAPH is much more for the video game, like special effects, 3D stuff like that.
It's a little different, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a different crowd.
Yeah, so.
So.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Don't forget, if you have questions, you know, if you go listen to, especially, I think, last week's episode, or in the week before, we answered a ton of questions. Mm-hmm. So if you have those, please send those to brograph@brograph.com. You can rate us on iTunes, leave a review, subscribe to us on YouTube, on iTunes, the audio. You can mm-hmm. subscribe to our newsletter through the site as well. You can say you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt with the No Brograph, No Mograph tee. You can also get the Feel the Bab t-shirt
2020,
which all profits go to Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. And we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, brograph.com, and soon to be Twitch. We've got we're getting a little closer to that every day, so mm-hmm. So check that out, and don't forget to check out our show notes, because we got some great links in there every week. Mm-hmm. And we've got our YouTube channel coming up. Man, we got a lot of content. We're starting to slowly roll
out
here. We're
going to be pushing a lot of content
here
in the next few weeks.
Editing like a mofo.
I know. It's crazy. Like, you're handling all this editing, and I'm just like, hey, man, can I do anything? You're
like yeah. Categorize our taxes.
This is the most boring thing ever.
Yeah. No, I already have all these kind of, they're kind of on the timeline and ready to go and kind of chopped. I just mm-hmm. have to just like sit through it and just watch it and make sure that we're good. And, you know, we've got tutorials and stuff planned as well. I recorded the intros for all the tutorials that I've got in the pipeline already. And now I just got to sit down and do them. Which, man, we, you know, like we've been saying, there's a lot of stuff we got coming up, but we can't tell you.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. And so I think,
we got a lot of stuff in the works, and hopefully within the next few
you're going to see
months,
the next
you're
going to
see like just this barrage of stuff coming from us. So
it's like this build up and there's just every day is ridiculous. So just hang in tight there and we'll have some stuff, you know, we're finally releasing content for the site. Mm-hmm. So, Anyway, look for all that, and we're going to get out of here because we're tired. Until next week, I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
Have a good one.
Later, bros.
Pretty good, I guess.
Brograph.com, an online resource for learning critical components of Cinema 4D and After Effects, specifically catered to help you prevail as a motion graphic designer.
What's up, bros? Welcome to another Brograph motion graphics tutorial.
We give you professional time-saving tips, shortcuts, and lessons that help give you an edge over your fellow designers. Not only this, but our new Brograph Talks help you in your file management, hardware configuration, and client relations.
I love projects that scare me. When our art director comes to us and asks for something that I had never done before, man, it gets me pumped.
Join us for live sessions, check out our crazy Cinema 4D experiments, or just watch our Fun with Brograph series, where we show you practical applications for techniques learned in previous tutorials. Do this from the beginning, and your client is going to respect that, and they're going to respect you, and they're going to respect your time. Subscribe today and get automatic updates on the latest tutorials, tricks, tips, and inspiration brought to you by industry professionals Dave Koss and Matt Milstead, all with a slight dash of dry humor peppered in.
Real nice banana.
Brograph.com, your source for tutorials that will help you thrive in the motion graphics industry. Don't just play around with Cinema 4D and After Effects, master it, and make money by becoming indispensable at your workplace.
We don't care how you get here, folks, just get here!
Subscribe now to Brograph Tutorials.
It's pretty good, I guess.